I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have been looking of late, this last 3 or 4 weeks, at the New Testament tongues and really exposing the lie that the modern day tongues has anything to do with the New Testament tongues. I think we've seen that that's not the case. Totally different altogether. And we've learned so much. But look, let's read this chapter again. It's only 13 verses. Great chapter of love, of course. And the apostle is writing to believers in Corinth. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. For whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through at last darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Amen. And in reading there, knowing the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon it. Having considered many aspects of the tongues of the New Testament already, there is one aspect that we want and ought to give time towards, where there's also a difference of opinion. We have noted that tongues were not given as a special language for prayer unto God. We have also seen that they're not a sign of spirituality. Indeed, Paul here affirms that to this very church at Corinth, and of course this church were guilty of abusing this gift. He reminds them that they were given as a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Chapter 14, verse 22, if you just want the reference to note it for yourself. They're given as a sign to them that believe not, not to believers. But where there's also a difference in this whole subject is to the length or the duration of tongues as we find them in the New Testament. The typical view of the modern day tongue speakers is this, that tongues will last, they will continue until the Lord comes back again to set up his kingdom and to gather all his people unto himself. And in this passage of 1 Corinthians 13, that's where they would base that view upon. The last time we touched in the opening verses of this chapter, but this evening I want us to look at the latter verses. It is to these verses that we would draw your attention. For such verses, really from verse 8 onwards, speak of differing things ceasing, different things that are ceasing. And as we stated previously, it's a chapter wherein the apostle brings out the importance of love. We can have many gifts. We can have many qualities. But if we have not love, we are nothing, and those things mean nothing. And at the beginning of verse 8, that thought is still very much in focus. He says charity or love, you can change the word. In fact, throughout that chapter where we read of charity, you can put in the name Christ. For he is all of these things. But he says love or charity never faileth. And that's where he starts. And in the general terms here, he is reminding this church that love is greater than the other three gifts that are mentioned in that verse. The gifts of prophecy, or prophesying, the gifts of knowledge, and of tongues. And before we go any further, it is important that we understand properly what prophecies and knowledge has to do with. Bear in mind that the early church had not the entire scriptures as you and I enjoy tonight. They only had the Old Testament, and so in the intervening period before they would have the complete canon, God was to bestow various gifts on individuals for the furtherance of the gospel, for the confirming of the message of saving grace that was being preached. The gift of prophecy was a telling forth. It was a revealing to the people the changes that were taking place. The Lord was not only speaking now to the Jews, but He was also speaking to the Gentile peoples. And the gift of knowledge was to explain what those gifts or those changes were and those things that were brought out through the prophesying. But taking these three gifts together, Paul emphasizes again that love is greater than them all. Because you see the start of verse 8, it says, charity never faileth. And that's the important difference. The other things they do. He desires that these Corinthians have these gifts in their proper place. And in particular, not to elevate the gift of tongues above their value. And that is proved because it is like the others. It's something that was temporary. That's what we're homing in on tonight. The duration of tongues, as is spoken of in the New Testament. You look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see the word fail and the word vanish away, they're both the same. First of all, I want you to see the scriptures of God, or consider with me the scriptures of God tonight. Temporary nature of these gifts, including that of the New Testament tongues, is paramount for us to understand from these verses. And that is what Paul here is teaching when he speaks of the gifts of knowledge and of prophecies. You'll notice how he continues to speak of them in verse 9 and 10. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And he's underlining how temporary they are. He says, we prophesy in part, and we know in part. He's saying, the understanding of the purposes of God is only partial, it's only incomplete. And he compares it to looking through a glass darkly, in the words of verse 12, and we'll come back to that in a moment or two. And so to apply it to the hearts of these believers, he's saying that their knowledge of the church, their knowledge of Christ, their knowledge of the coming of the Spirit, of the inclusion of the Gentile nations to hear the preaching as well as the Jewish nation, that was only partial as far as they were concerned. It was only incomplete. The only means they had of receiving these truths was through these gifts. But that wasn't always going to be the case. For he goes on to say in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then we shall know fully. If I can paraphrase it, bring it in the end of verse 12. Then we shall know fully, even as also I am known. And it is important that we understand what Paul has in mind here when he speaks of that which is perfect. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I contend that he's speaking here of the scriptures. Because they only had the Old Testament scriptures, their knowledge was incomplete. They only had piecemeal. They had a piece here and a piece there. But when the full and the complete revelation was given, then that which was perfect and entire in itself, then they would know even as also they were known. In other words, they would fully know because God fully knows each one of us. And when the complete revelation was given, then that which is in part shall be done away with. The gift of prophecies, the speaking of truths directly, if you like, revealed by the Spirit unto individuals, would no longer be necessary if God had given His complete revelation. And how you see that often in the Old Testament, for example, that God was to speak to Elijah and to go and stand before Ahab. That was a revelation to him. Or you can think of the other prophets as well, of Abraham, what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. And go right through it. But if God had given His complete telling of Scripture, then those prophecies would no longer be necessary. The gift of knowledge, which is different, of course, from the possession of knowledge, but which means, really has to do with the explaining of those truths which was prophesied, that also will be no longer be required. What we do need today, men and women, is the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what we read in the Scriptures. And of course, we know that Christ has promised that He does not speak of Himself, He speaks of Christ. And I have encouraged the young people before, when you go to your quiet time, you get into the closet, you pray first of all. Lord, help me to understand what I'm going to read tonight or this morning. And that's the same applying to the adult tonight. We have a spiritual book. And we need the help of the divine author, of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to understand something. If God is going to give us a little nugget, as it were, from the Word. We need certainly the help of the Holy Spirit to understand. And Paul here is referring to the completed, inspired Word of the living God, the complete Scriptures that God has given and God has preserved for His church, and of which we have tonight in our mother tongue. The Scriptures are not all that God knows, but they're all that He wants us to know. They give to us all the revealed truths, not just as in part, as with the gift of prophecies and in the days of the Corinthians, but they give them all to us. And isn't that backed up by what Paul said to Timothy? You come over, it's a well-known verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the words of verse 16 and 17. What we're saying is that God has given us the complete canon of Scripture, all the revealed truths that He wants us to learn and know. Everything that we need. It's between Genesis and Revelation. And it's backing up what Paul states here to Timothy. Paul here is an aged man. He's speaking to the young pastor. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm sure you've heard a preacher say before, it simply means in the Greek literally, it's all God breathed. That's it. It's all God breathed, listen, and is profitable for doctrine. You know the cry today? We don't want doctrine, preacher. That's the cry in many a church today. We don't worry about the doctrine. The doctrine, listen, is the gospel. If you don't have the doctrine, you don't have the gospel. And it's all God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all there. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all that we need. That's why God has given us the canon, the complete canon of the Scriptures. And you'll notice that when Paul speaks of that which is perfect, that which in part is done away. And so as to illustrate it, he uses the example of childhood in comparison to manhood. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. One is a time of immaturity. But when adulthood arrives, then those childish things are put away. things that you did as a child, things that you understood just as a child or thought as a child, they're put away. In other words, they only serve the needs of a child and a time of immaturity. They don't serve adulthood and when we're supposed to be mature, put like that. There's one thing needed to understand the purposes of God and whereby we can mature as believers. That is the complete canon of God's word. You want to mature as a believer, you don't need the signs and the wonders that so many are flitting after. We need the word. That's the only way that you will mature and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be found, men and women, in His Word. It is to be found with the Word open as you seek the Lord in prayer for Him to guide you in it and for you to understand it as He seeks to teach you by His Holy Spirit. There's no shortcut. I've got to get into the Word. And I, for one, lament that I don't know more of the book. And so you see here that Paul, I believe, is speaking about the scriptures of God. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Secondly, I want you to notice the subtlety of the devil here. There's another reason why the tongues were to be done away with. And that they would cease. And that was that the message of saving grace going out to the Jews as well as the Gentiles, they were exhorted, as we all are, to live by faith and not by sight. You see, so many of God's people today seem to live their spiritual lives by what they see. Or, can I say, in many aspects, what they don't see. And if something is not seen, then decisions are taken on that basis, no longer on the basis of faith. And let me just remind us all, God doesn't change His mind. If God revealed something to you 2 years ago, it's still the same tonight. If God revealed something to you 2 weeks ago, He doesn't change His mind on that. But the problem is we can change. And instead of walking by faith on that word, on that promise, or on that verse that the Lord gave us, so often we get our eyes on what we don't see or what we do see. And the New Testament church, they were taught, as we are tonight, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. They were no longer to walk by the signs or the wonders that God had given, which included, of course, the gift of tongues. These signs were only for a season. Today, we have the complete scriptures of truth. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you imagine what confusion there would be abroad and would reign if the signs and the gifts were to coexist alongside the complete canon of the Word? There would be a looking to men for signs rather than to the Word of the Lord for our spiritual growth. And you know, really, that's what the cults do. Those boys that stand on your door, oh, they say, we have a Bible, yes. But they also have the books of Mary Eddie Baker, or they also have the books of Russellism. And all the rest of it. And they're looking for the signs as well as the word. What confidence would we have in the scriptures as God's final statement to men if there were the signs and the gifts also? How could you or I discern the false prophets that are gone abroad out into the world by their signs and wonders that they perform? Absolutely not. But we discern them by testing what they profess to believe against the scriptures of truth. Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. That really means the God's word. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Anything that comes before you, you test it by the word. For God doesn't contradict Himself. Dear people, when we consider the confusion that there would be abroad if the signs were to be held in the same authority as the Scriptures, then therein you see the subtlety of the devil. For his aim and his desire is to undermine the Word of the living God. And for those who hold to tongues and other gifts today, he is succeeding in doing exactly that. There's confusion. There's an undermining of the Scriptures. That was his aim and desire from the beginning of time, and it still is. For the devil would have us to believe that there are people who still have the gifts of knowledge, who still have the gifts of prophecy, as is spoken of in this passage, of revelations that they have received directly from the Holy Spirit, of the gift of knowledge that would be given to them to know what these things mean. And he will seek to tell us that these gifts, include tongues, will be given until the Savior comes back again. Why would that be the devil's desire, you might ask? It is so because he aims to worry the people of God by adding and subtracting from the Word of God. He did it back in the beginning of time. Genesis chapter 3. In the words of verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He didn't say that. But that's the subtlety of the devil. And of course Eve swallowed it, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He was adding unto the word. And as you have it in Genesis, so we are warned about the adding and subtracting to the word in the last book as well. Revelation chapter 22. You come to the words of verse 18. Here is something that is found in Deuteronomy. And it is also found in the book of Proverbs. So you'll have it at the start. The book of Moses. You have it in the middle of the Scriptures. And you have it in the last book as well. What is it? We're not to add or subtract to God's word. Verse 18. Revelation 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. What does it mean that shall add unto these things? It means upon or above. And John wrote this last book, and nothing then can be added upon or on top of this. That's it. The end. As far as God's revelation is concerned. That's why we have stated before, and I do so again, that you beware of those who profess to have additional revelations from the Lord. It's a subtle ploy of the devil to undermine your confidence in the complete Scriptures that God has given. I haven't read this book, I am told. Of your man up in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Belfast, that in his autobiography he says that an angel met him in the balcony of the church. McConnell. I'm not calling anybody out, by the way, there. That's his name. Good job he's not George. But anyway, and he says in the book that an angel met him in the balcony. And they told him that so many souls will be saved. That's an extra revelation. And that's the subtle ploy of the devil. God has given us minimum, young people, the complete revelation. There's no more. Don't look for any more revelations. This is it. You see, prophecies, it says, will fail. Prophecies will end. In the context of what we've been looking at tonight, the Spirit is not going to come and tell me some message that's not in this book. And so beware of those who would try and mislead you and ultimately undermine your confidence in the scriptures that God has given. You see, there's a subtlety of the devil here. There's one thought, final thought that I want to leave with you, and that's the silence of the epistles. When we think particularly of tongues, it is interesting to see the word that Paul uses there in verse 8. He says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And the sense of the word is that they shall stop. There shall be an end of them. They shall automatically stop of themselves. They shall stop willingly, if you like. And the context of this leads us to place tongues in the same partial or temporary category as that of the prophecies or that of the knowledge as is spoken of in the same verse. Tongues also, which were very much a part of the incomplete revelation, they were just a sign to the Jews to convince them that God was granting unto the Gentiles repentance of the light, unto light, that God was teaching them that the Holy Ghost was falling upon them as well. With the coming of the New Testament scriptures, with the complete canon, there was no longer need for tongues as a sign. They would end. They would cease. They would stop. Indeed, it seems that the gifts of prophecy and knowledge were to outlive that of the tongues. That is so because those two, because they were designed to build up the church with the truth, or in the truth, until that time of the complete scriptures being given. And what is startling is that the epistles after that of 1 Corinthians, and remember, 1 Corinthians is one of the earliest epistles. It's only preceded by James and by the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in time. So here's one of the earliest books. And yet, while in these other epistles written after 1 Corinthians, while there's the mention of the gifts, there's no mention made of tongues. There's silence. You come over to Ephesians, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, and you look at the words of verse 8. We'll just read a couple of verses here. Ephesians 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things with this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And there are verses that it speaks of the gifts. The Lord has given to his church what the church needs. He has given the apostles, he has given the prophets, he has given evangelists, pastors, teachers. But there's no mention of gifts. Silence. The same is the case in Romans chapter 12. It's seen already what 1 Corinthians 13 has stated, that the tongues would cease, the tongues would fall silent, they would fall away into disuse, no longer needed as the New Testament was being completed. And even before they were completed, tongues were already becoming less relevant. There's no mention of them in Ephesians, that spiritual church. No mention made in Galatians to help a people who had lost their way somewhat, and yet Galatians is where we find recorded the fruit of the Spirit. There's no mention of tongues. There's no mention of the tongues in Colossians to the Colossae believers. They had lost sight of Christ as the head of the body. He exhorts them to put on the new man, but there's no mention of tongues. And so it could go on with regard to the other epistles. No mention of them in Hebrews. No mention made by the one who walks amidst his candlesticks to the seven churches in Asia. Not a thing about tongues. A silence. They already were ceasing. As the scriptures were to be completed, they no longer, as Paul describes, in the words of verse 12, we'll be looking into it last darkly. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. He's describing there that partial revelation that they had. It was like looking into a polished metal plate. And those plates were used as mirrors in those days. They were very common actually in the city of Corinth. But no matter how finely polished they were, they still gave an imperfect and they still gave a darkened view. And that's the picture behind what he's saying there. But when they had the complete scriptures, what would happen would be they would be looking into the perfect mirror of God's word, as clear as someone who's speaking face to face. For now we see through at last darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And men and women, when we look into this book, we see God in the face of Jesus Christ, for it's full of His person and it's full of His work. And Christ is to be found in all the scriptures from Genesis right through to Revelation. And we've only got to look at the evangelical revivals in recent church history to see men mightily used of God, the Holy Spirit, who never used tongues. And men who taught that they had long since ceased. But what God did bless and what God still blesses is the preaching of the whole counsel of His Word. And our prayer ought to be that we might experience that in these days, in this our day and generation. For His glory's sake. The duration of New Testament tongues, they ceased. It's another reason why that which is spoken about as tongues today has nothing to do with the New Testament. It's nothing to do with the Bible. We're not to be ignorant of these things. And oh, may God come. Let's pray to this end that God might bless the preaching of the Word. For all we need it. We need it in our land. We need it in the kingdom of Mourn. We need it in this congregation. That God might bless His word. There might be a reviving of our hearts. You see, if we have the word, we have everything. Everything we need of Christ. May the Lord bless that we study to our hearts tonight for His own name's sake.